Treat you like you're a little man.
In attendance, for the millions watching around the world. Let's get ready to suck it!
And
all right.
Hello, everybody, to the special edition Wednesday night. For those of you who may be tuned in, I know the Icon's done a lot of marketing and promotion on his side. For those of you who are tuned in, this is a special edition. Due to prior obligations and life's complications, we could not make it Monday night, but normally we are 10 to about midnight Eastern Standard Time out there in the Central. That's about, I believe, 9 to 11, if I'm
11,
correct on that.
9 to 11
and,
on
that. If I am correct on that. And, you know, we actually have new music. The Icon gets so excited talking on the air, he just can't control himself. I was going to intro you in before you said anything, but it's okay. I got new intro music for him. So those of you who may have heard the Eric Bischoff's I'm Back, we have a little bit of new entrance music. So those of you who are wrestling fans, think of if somebody's coming down to the ring, what their theme music is going to be. And here is his new one. Going to be Icon's new theme music. It is a 4-minute song, so I will not play the whole thing, but those of you who are listening, call me in 713-955-0359. If any of the topics for tonight do intrigue you or anything like that, feel free. We're always open to chat. Tonight's an hour and a half, so we're going to be previewing the Clash of Champions pay-per-view coming in. There was a lot of cruiserweight things that had happened on Monday. Again, I've had the week from hell. So I've been so busy. Once Jason calls in, I was going to give you and Jason the opportunity to sort of banter on this because I've missed both shows this week and I have not had a chance to watch the DVR recordings yet. So I've just been that busy. But I did get a chance to see the cruiserweights, and that's sort of what I was going to start with. And I'm quickly messaging Jason here just to let him know we're on. And
while you're doing that, one thing I want to say, and for those of you who have the show's phone number, kids, you don't even need your parents' permission to call us. You can call us right now.
We promise we won't curse.
We'll watch
our goddamn mouths for the time you're on. But looking at this, I was a little shocked. Jason's going to be calling in here in a minute. I was a little shocked. When they were introducing the cruiserweight guys, I've never been a big fan of the cruiserweight division anyway. I've always thought that they were, you know, smaller guys. I don't know. I just never liked cruiserweight. In fact, the last cruiserweight, and I know he's not looked at as a cruiserweight, but technically in WCW he was a cruiserweight. The last cruiserweight I really liked, besides like Psychosis, was Chris Jericho. And then in WCW, see that's the difference. That's who WCW used him, as opposed to how WWE used him, was he was a cruiserweight in WCW, and I always thought he was kind of a jobber and he sucked and all that. And then obviously, as you know now, he's a legend in the other company. But for the cruiserweights, I never liked them. I just always thought it was, yeah, I know they're high flyers and there's some entertaining stuff. I was always kind of bored with it. And now when these cruiserweights came in, I didn't know a damn one of them. I haven't been following this. All of a sudden, they introduced Brian Kendricks. And I'm like, really? Kendricks is back?
Yeah,
and of course.
5 years ago.
I know, yeah. He was fired. Well, I don't know if it was kayfabe or real, but he was fired from the company. And then now he's back, and of course he wins. So, I mean, I don't know.
Well, you know, the thing about the cruiserweights, though, it's like one of the things that WCW did, and Eric Bischoff is most responsible for bringing all the cruiserweights and the Lucha Libras. Well, I always look forward to watching their matches because, I mean, they were so high-flying, they were so entertaining. I mean, I tuned in to watch that because after a while, you know, having the NWO come down and just beat everybody up, just, you know, it just got sickening. So when the NWO went stale for me, when they had the NWO and the LWO and the BWO and the WWO and the who freaking cares WO, you know, the cruiserweights were what held them together. But if you remember, Eddie Guerrero was considered a cruiserweight at the time. Dean Malenko was, Perry Saturn was, and Chris Benoit was for a short time. And then when they left and went to WWE, you know, that's when WCW really started to go downhill because they lost their high flyers from the cruiserweight. I mean, they still had the Lucha Libras, but, you know, I've never been a fan of Mexican wrestling, you know. So I just, you know, and then it just got bored to me. And then I switched channels and I never switched back.
Oh, you didn't think Rey Mysterio?
Yeah, Rey Mysterio and all those guys, you know.
But you didn't like them or you did?
Well, as it got towards the end of WCW, the newer Mexican wrestlers I didn't like, but at the beginning, like Prince Hayekia, Juventud Guerrera, what's the guy that does the Rey Mysterio, you know, those guys were exciting, but some of the Mexican wrestlers today, like Sin Cara, doesn't even come close. I don't know if you...
Yeah.
Oh, okay, go ahead. But you're cutting out really bad, though.
Well, no, I know, just because...
In Chris's defense, he's in a bad area that doesn't get a very good signal, so he may cut in and out. And when Jason comes in, he may have that issue too. So you'll just have to hear all our fans out there just have to hear me rant till they come back.
But we go fans anyway, so I mean, you know, we're almost guilty by association in that regard. But now, do you care about the cruiserweights at all? Like this match that's coming up at the pay-per-view, like, does this matter to you? Or, because, I mean, in my opinion, if I do get a chance to watch the pay-per-view, I'm going to be in West Virginia. I'm going to be on my way back. But it's one of those matches that I think I'm just going to end up skipping through, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care who wins.
I have not watched any of the cruiserweights. I have not watched any of it on the network. I, you know, it's just one of those things. I don't care. You know, That's going to most likely be the first match out of the gate. And, you know, as fans are coming in, and it's just, you know, I don't think anybody's going to care. And I don't think the cruiserweight will stay around that long unless they start doing something different and really push it. But as of right now, like Eric Hendricks.
Why do you think they brought cruiserweights back at all?
Well, I believe it was a way to boost the network so people would watch the network more, you know, and see
all
the
stuff. Nobody cares about cruiserweights.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's a marketing thing that has not worked, unfortunately. You know?
Now they're this far deep into it, they've just got to keep rolling with it, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, I just – cruiserweights don't do it for me. I mean, why don't you bring the hardcore title back? But, again, that's not PG, so we'll never see that. But I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
remember that old hardcore title that was 24 hours that you could defend anywhere in the building at any time. That was sick. But I think those days unfortunately are over.
I mean, you know, if they wanted to bring a title back, you know, they could have even brought back the European Championship, you know, and gave it to Sheamus, you know.
But Sheamus, I think Sheamus is a former world champion. Sheamus is above European title level, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like, you know, they've been flip-flopping people. Like, now they're having Roman Reigns challenge for the USA title again. I don't get it. He was a world champion. Now he's back. Now he's downgrading.
Yeah, but that's just because of Rusev is holding it. And those two are probably, arguably, right now, because, I mean, Big Show part-time, Brock Lesnar's part-time, those two are probably the largest men in the company at this moment. So, I mean, despite having that title, he's still a large guy, and I think Roman Reigns is the only one that can compete with him.
Right. And the only thing I like about Rusev is Lana comes to the ring with him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. He is good.
Speaking of coming to the ring, the way I understand it, Paige might be returning.
It was only a rumor. It was only a rumor that she was fired. I don't think she actually was fired.
Well, I think she wanted to leave with her boyfriend, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, he's gone. So,
yeah.
You know,
if
she wants to choose him, then, you know, she can choose that. But
yeah. I mean, I don't see, you know, there's just something about, you know, throwing your career away for a relationship, you know. I mean, Jerry Lawler did that with Miss Kitty, and then she broke it off with him, and then he came back, you know. I don't know if you remember that or not, but I sure
no,
do.
No, of course I do, yeah. Of course, yeah. I don't remember it live, of course, because I was young, but I remember it going back and watching the network episode, yeah.
Right. So how far are you on the network right now?
I started watching right around middle of 97. I saw like the Montreal Screwjob, and I saw, you know, the Undertaker and Shawn Michaels beef. I saw Kane's debut, and I watched all the way through. And right now I'm in the first episode of 2004. So
okay.
I've been watching.
So you only got 12 years to go to catch up.
Well, yeah,
wow,
but a lot of those years. Yeah, a lot of those years I can skip through.
Right, right. But I know if Edge is on the show, you're going to watch it.
Edge.
Oh, I'm watching. I'm watching all the Edge years, and I'm trying to find a way to pirate it so I can copy them as well. Yes, of course.
Now, let me ask you this. Did you like it when Edge and Christian were together, or did you just like Edge by himself?
I liked Paul, for those of you with the benefit of photography, I liked it at first. I think better in the group, but just because they look at the Nation of Chaos, I love that kind of thing. I mean, I love the Nation of Darkness, I love that stuff. So I liked that a little better, but when they were together, Yeah, but it got kind of old, especially since they got kind of silly towards the end. I mean, they sort of they were like an old age New Day, where they came in, they were different, they were silly, they had the crowd interaction, even though they started as heels, but they had a crowd interaction, they did all that, and then it just got stale, you know. And then
right.
And then when they got drafted different, and then they got drafted to different shows. Edge went off, did his own thing, then he got injured, and then came back in 04. And just, you know, so I actually, you know, and when Edge was on SmackDown, I didn't watch SmackDown at the time. My other man crush, JR, or at least his voice anyway, is I only really watched Raw back then. And even now, skipping through the network, I didn't watch SmackDown.
Right.
And so I didn't get a chance to see a lot of Young Edge, but I will give you this. I have been going back and watching SmackDowns because during late 2002, early 2003, SmackDown had the better storylines. So I, at least in my opinion.
Which is the case
so
now.
Yes. So I was watching them, and I'll give you this. What the hell happened to Michael Cole? Because when Michael Cole was with Taz during that SmackDown draft and all the way through 04, Michael Cole was actually entertaining to listen to. That's not the case anymore, unfortunately.
Well, I know. Here's what happened with Michael Cole. When he decided to become a wrestler and feud with Jerry Lawler, you know, things kind of didn't gravitate towards him. And then when he went back to the broadcast booth, I mean, he kind of kept himself quiet, and he never really did rebound from that. You know?
No,
he never did.
Yeah, it was just going heel. He never did.
And, back in the day when it was Michael Cole and Taz, I liked it. And I also liked, you know, I liked JR and Michael Cole for a while. But, of course, to me, there's still no one going to be any no one better than JR and the King together, you know. Nothing will ever beat that. And they're unfortunately they're both gone. You only see Jerry Lawler on pay-per-views, which I don't necessarily like.
And that's
either.
Unfortunate. Jason,
yeah,
are you here
because,
with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Jason,
just making sure.
Yeah, everybody all right?
Yeah, did you finish your bowl of bootios?
I still have some left over. I still got a little bit left over.
All right, I'll be on later. Save me a bowl, would you?
Jason,
no problem. What is your
go ahead.
Well, what is your opinion on the cruiserweights? That's what we started off with.
I like it. I like it. And I can't wait for you guys to see TJ wrestle. He's really nice. You guys are going to join him. Think of him as a shorter AJ Styles, but more a versatile offense. And him and Brian Kendricks, I'm pretty sure you guys remember Brian Kendricks when he was with Paul London. And they were the longest reigning tag team champs until New Day eclipsed them not too long ago. So I like the Cruiserweight division. They only showed you four guys, but there's
was
eight in total.
Was Kendrick Abe fired, or was he really released from his contract? I should know that.
No, he really was released. He was like Festus.
Oh, he was, okay. So, this pay-per-view, as you guys know, is Raw brand only, which I'm still debating if I like each show having their own pay-per-view. I'm not 100% sure yet. You know, the Cruiserweight Icon set is probably going to be the first match out of the gate. I don't care about the Cruiserweight division. I don't know if you are the same, but like whoever wins, like I probably won't even watch that match. It's just to me, it's like, okay, you're Cruiserweight, big deal. You know, basically, in my opinion, you know, Cruiserweights have never really been stars. The only star, quote unquote, who's ever been a Cruiserweight besides maybe Rey Mysterio has been Chris Jericho, because WCW used him as that back when his move was still called the Lion Tamer. Back in WCW, that's about it. So, I mean, I've just never been a big fan.
I think WWE in general just did a bad job with them, because in WCW, the Cruiserweight division was really good. You had Ruby 2, you had a lot of people to rival Ray.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like, you know, the Cruiserweights, you know, they had all the Lucha Libras too, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they're, I mean, that was a style that American wrestling fans had never seen before. But I think what American wrestling fans and most wrestling fans now, they've seen the Cruiserweight division before in WCW, and they're comparing it to that, and I don't think it measures up to what it was. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad per se. I'm just saying that I never watched any of it. If you guys are still with me, hello.
Not here.
Oh yeah, I was just thinking, and I was really trying to debate which one was better. But you gotta watch the Cruiserweight Classic to really understand the depths that they're going. And even the guy who's a champ now, he used to be a jobber in TNA. That's what makes his story really good. You know, kind of like the same thing with Brian Kendrick. You know, he was released from his contract, and he literally was like done with wrestling, and somehow because of this Cruiserweight, this renaissance, they wanted to bring it back. They called up a lot of these other guys, and now we have a Cruiserweight division, which I think is going to be good. I think it should have been on SmackDown, though, but that's a whole other story.
Well, I don't, you know, I think SmackDown's ratings are good the way they are by themselves. I didn't think they need help, but the Monday Night Raw with their ratings needs help.
Oh, man. Did you guys hear about that? Did you guys hear that they had the lowest rating on Raw in about 4 years? And some people are trying to say it's Kevin Owens, but I don't think it's Kevin Owens. It's just that a lot of people, you know, you got Monday Night Football, you got pennant chases going on in baseball. There's a lot of things going on right now. I don't want to blame, you know, Kevin Owens for that.
Well, I want to blame Kevin Owens for that because I don't like him. Maybe they'll take the title off him, you know?
No, of course,
shout it, because Chris, you're cutting out a little bit, bud.
I said I don't think that they will, because they tried to force feed us Roman Reigns, and they might do the same thing with Kevin Owens.
I just think the ratings, you know, it's just going to be bad right now because of football and then baseball going on. So they got to really develop strong storylines. And they haven't really been able to do that. You know, you got Rusev and you got Reigns and you got Rollins, you got all these guys, but they're not really telling a good story.
And so guys, is it bad? I mean, again, this is our special Wednesday hour and a half show because going into the pay-per-view here because, you know, we had obligations on Monday. 713-955-0359 if you do want to call in. Again, we do thank you for listening. I know Icon has a lot of people on the line who are listening. At least we hope they are anyway, and we hope that they're enjoying it if they're wrestling fans. Guys, is it bad? And I'm not trying to sound sexist here. If any ladies who might be listening, you know, I do apologize if you take this the wrong way. Most women do take things the wrong way. So, again, I apologize in advance. But is it bad, guys, that the best storyline on the flagship show still is the women's division? Is the best storyline right now?
It is. Because you're right. The women's division is, I think, is what's keeping Monday Night Raw afloat. I mean, they keep flip-flopping back and forth with, Jason, did you saw the cage match between Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty decent. It was a good match.
Well, was it one of the better cage matches you've ever seen? To me, it really wasn't.
It wasn't, but you know what? You know, Roman doesn't get a lot of credit. He's really good. He's starting to really pick up his wrestling skills, and he doesn't get enough credit for that.
Yeah, I guess you're right, but there's the, you know, and now Roman Reigns is going up after the USA title, and, you know, you got Chris Jericho running his mouth about his good friend Kevin Owens, and And then you got The Miz. You know, I mean, the only thing good about The Miz, of course, is his wife, you know. But other than that, I mean, The Miz is just goofy to me, you know. And I'm hoping that, you know, with he does that pompous actor thing perfectly, but it's boring. It doesn't appeal to me anymore. And this whole deal about the New Day holding the tag team titles for 400 days and the Miz holding the title for 375 days, it's time for a change. You know, there was a time when the belts would change every couple months. Now they're changing every few years. It doesn't work for me. I mean, SmackDown's had more title changes in the last month than Raw has had all year.
Yeah, true. And, you know, I remember back in the good old days, the quote-unquote glory days, as they call them, that titles used to change on Raw. Now it's like you got to wait for a pay-per-view. Like, there's been a couple of times recently where we thought we were going to see a title match. We thought that it was going to explode into something, and they were like, yeah, you'll get your title shot, but it's coming at the pay-per-view. You know, that kind of thing. And I'm just like, now I got to wait. And it's like, just let them fight it out on Raw. I mean, also, you know, remember back in the good old days, too, when maybe the world title and the world champion wasn't necessarily the best storyline? I'll give you an example. Goldberg Triple H thing, when Triple H was in Evolution. All right, and Triple H got a title shot against Goldberg on Raw. It was like the fourth match. It was on at like 10 o'clock. Okay, because the main event was something that had a little bit more emotion. They'd been building it for longer. It was a better match overall. So, you know, the world title matches don't necessarily need to be main events all the time if they're not the highest story that you're working on. But I just feel like, and a lot of people may agree, but the Attitude Era and up into the quote-unquote Ruthless Aggression Era of 02 or 04 may, in my opinion, have had some of the best storylines we've ever seen in professional wrestling, just whether it's WCW, TNA, WWE, whatever it may be. Some of this that they used to build, I remember, now maybe I was young and this is why, and young kids get excited about a lot of things, but the some of the heat that was being built, okay, on some of these guys, was just, they would let it build, they would let it rock for months. I mean, sometimes these storylines would just build and build and build, and being a kid, there was times when I could not wait. Like, I would rush through homework just to watch Raw or SmackDown because they were able to keep you so on edge, and they were able to just, you know, you had no idea what was going to happen, and you were just like, oh, my God, this is so exciting, and blah, 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 blah. And now it's just like, all right, I'll watch Raw if I get to it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm off. Maybe I was spoiled by growing up during the Attitude Era. I don't know.
No, well, no, you're not. But the whole deal is, it's like, okay, I watch Raw because I'm a wrestling fan, you know, but their storylines and everything is still predictable, you know. It's like, I think that's why whichever WWE writer has been listening to us on Monday nights, he was upset with us. Because we're on today. So now we're giving them ideas for next week or 2 weeks from now. But SmackDown has still got the better show, but Raw having the lowest ratings, I think that has to do with the fact that a rookie quarterback was leading a team his first game on Monday Night Football, and more people wanted to watch that. I know I did. But I recorded it.
Well, because of Carson Wentz, yeah. Well, the only people I think that would choose, and Jason and I are big football guys as well, I'm almost certain that the only people that would choose the Eagles versus the Bears on Monday night over wrestling, if they were wrestling fans, were people with Carson Wentz affiliations like you have. Well, yeah, fantasy football, Carson Wentz affiliations like you have, or are Eagles fans or Bears fans. That, I mean, that's about it. In my opinion, I could be wrong. So, but that's just me.
I'm a Bears hater, you know, and I am a Carson Wentz fan, you know, and I'm proud of Carson Wentz. I consider him to be a close personal friend of mine, you know, and sorry Carson, I have to watch wrestling. I'm sorry. But I taped your – and I did watch your game so I could watch your passes in slow motion because I know he may be listening too. So that's my little rant on.
Well, why do you want to watch him in slow motion?
Well, because the way that he passes is just like a godsend heaven pass. It just he floats it over the middle, perfect to the wide receiver with finesse. You can't. There's nothing better than watching Carson Wentz pass a touchdown pass live. There's nothing better than watching that.
Icon's building a tent over there in his pants, thinking about it. Jason, is there any new Buff Bagwell news about this lawsuit?
No, I heard about the lawsuit, but I'm wondering if he does have. I think he's got a, you know, talking to him personally. I think he has a pretty good case, I think, you know, because JR did lie about it and did defame him. You know, it wasn't on national television, but it was still on the network. You know,
well, I think in the wrestling community, it's pretty well known. Yeah. So.
And the one thing that I don't understand is I don't see why I didn't think JR was ever that kind of person to do that. To lie to a wrestling fan's face, you know, because JR has always been the voice of reason. He's always been the voice of honesty. And then he goes and says something like that. It just doesn't make sense.
You guys watch the, you guys watch the, Stone Cold.
You're breaking up. I can't hear you. Jason?
I said, do you guys watch the Stone Cold podcast?
No, I did not, but I watched JBL with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. I thought that was very interesting.
Did you see the Dean Ambrose one when he was on there?
I haven't watched that yet. I'm going to watch that tonight after we're off our show.
Because Dean, I don't know if it was an acting job or what it was, but Stone Cold actually got really frustrated with Dean because Dean just wasn't talking. Like, Stone Cold would ask him questions, and he would give him, like, one-word answers and just sit there like he didn't really want to be there. And Austin, I think, seems that he's just like, listen, I'm just going to cut it short. Like, this is a waste of my time. Like, I'm not doing this, blah, blah, blah. And you know, I'm just like, I don't know if that was just kayfabe to sort of get people, you know, if Ambrose is going to turn heel or whatever it may be, or if Ambrose really is just kind of, I don't know, shy or whatever it may be, and Stone Cold actually was frustrated.
Well, you know, Stone Cold doesn't, he doesn't pull any punches when he, when he's upset, he lets you know about it. With a chair to the back of the head, you know. But Stone Cold's never been the kind of guy that's going to, you know, play the role. If he's legitimately pissed off, he's going to let you know about it. You know, that's the way he's always been.
Yeah. So, and that's what I love about him was he didn't pull any punches, and he was always the guy that would sort of speak what was on his mind. I mean, shit, he walked out of the company twice because he didn't like the way that his character was being used. So, I mean, who knows? But I don't know, man. I mean, those wrestlers back in the day also just seemed so much more badass, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just...
You know what it is, guys? You know what it is, too? It's the whole PG, the whole Disney era. Think about... Just look at ESPN and look at Fox Sports 1. Like, I really didn't realize in that until today how much different the programming and the shows are. One, you know, they have limitations, and with Fox, they pretty much say whatever they want. It's kind of like that whole WCW, WWE back in the days where they had to evolve and do the whole Attitude Era, or else they would have lost through Monday Night Wars. They don't have that challenge now. So this is what we're going to get. And like you said earlier about the mid-cards, that was the problem that they have now. Like, the belts mean nothing. The U.S. and the Intercontinental means nothing. But back in the days, it means, you know, you got the Intercontinental or U.S. strap, that means you was next in line to be the next guy. You know, I'm thinking about, like, Triple H and The Rock for the IC belt. That was a classic. And, Scott, you probably remember you had Sting and Luger fighting for the U.S. title back in the old WCW, and those things mean something. Now it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you. To me, and I don't know, you guys should most likely remember this, but to me, the most epic title change in Raw history, okay, there was two. The most epic title changes in Raw history were when Stone Cold beat Kane for the championship, and when Mick Foley...
Yeah, the night after the first blood match, yeah.
Yeah, yep. And when Mick Foley won the championship against The Rock.
I do remember that. I was actually going to say, if you didn't add that one, I was going to say that it was Mick. But, you know, the only problem with the Mick Foley thing was that it was Michael Cole that made the call, because JR was suffering from the
Bell's palsy, right. And, of course, WCW is the one that had people turn their TVs over because they gave it away, you know. And everybody knows that I love Mick Foley. I mean, I look like him, except to the people in Iowa who thought I looked like Silent Bob. I still don't understand that, but, you know.
Yeah, I can see it. From Jay and Silent Bob. I can see it.
Yeah, everywhere I go, people always say, you look like Mick Foley. I go to Iowa, now I'm Silent Bob. But I said, then listen to the show on Monday on Monday nights. You can hear more of Silent Bob talking wrestling.
Yeah, you are all but silent. That is true. But it's more, I could see it. I mean, did you Google Silent Bob photos after and take a look? I mean, you kind of do.
Well, I'm going to tell the story real quick. I was waiting outside the stadium, and this guy snuck up behind me, and he had his girlfriend take a picture of he and I because he thought I was Silent Bob. And I said, what the heck is going on? He said, well, we want to get a picture with Silent Bob. I said, well, you don't have to sneak around. Come stand here. We'll take a picture, you know. And then
if you actually were Silent Bob.
Yeah, he actually thought I was Silent Bob. But why would Silent Bob be at an Iowa North Dakota State football game? But I appreciate the kudos that because he told all his friends that Silent Bob was there, so I ended up taking a picture with 15 people.
You know what's funny, and Jason, I don't know how many photos of mine you've seen, but quick story time. When I lived in New Hampshire, I had a bit of a New York accent. I still kind of do a little bit, and a lot of people tell me that I look a lot like the son from The Sopranos, AJ or whatever his name is, Soprano. And so I had a New York accent, and I was coming back from work. I was working in the car business at the time. So I had, you know, shirt and tie on and the whole thing. And somebody in the bar asked me if I was the son from The Sopranos, if I was the actor, Robert Diller, who played the son from The Sopranos. And I was a little under the influence. So I walked with it. And he took photos with me and videos. Like, I've seen every episode and this and that. So he goes, can you get on and talk to my girlfriend? Because she's a huge Sopranos fan. He said, can you get on the line and talk to her? And I'm like, I said, I'm really yoked up, but I'm a big New York accent. And she's like, oh, my God, blah, blah, blah. She goes, I've seen all your episodes. She started quoting episodes and things, and I was giving all the catchphrases. And then she goes, do you want to, like, come back here? And I'm here by myself. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'll grab, you know, your boyfriend will come over. She goes, no, just you. And that's when I'm like, yeah, give me a little bit. And I hung up. I was like, yeah, bro, I got to go, you know, like, because I was like, holy shit. But, yeah, so, you know, sometimes, like, I've walked through the mall. I've signed autographs to people. Fuck, yeah, I have. I've taken $5 autographs and things for that. I get it all the time. So I'm okay with it. You know, it doesn't
bother
me.
Well, yeah, I didn't have a problem with it, you know. So apparently you and I have more in common than we thought we did because people that see me in public recognize me from Facebook, so they ask me to sign an autograph of the icon, so it's kind of cool, you know.
Listen,
but I'm sure
and
Jason...
I'll get the answer. Well, Jason, you know Jason gets. Everybody thinks Jason is CeeLo Green having gastric bypass surgery. I mean, Jason looks just like CeeLo Green. What is your favorite match coming into the pay-per-view? The match you are most anxious to see? Or do you really care about this pay-per-view at all?
The Dean Ambrose match.
Well, this is just a Raw pay-per-view, isn't it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Raw. I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about the next SmackDown pay-per-view. The Kevin Owens match.
Okay.
And the women's match. Those are the only two matches I care about. I can sleep through the rest of them because I don't care about the cruiserweight side.
Yeah, well, the women's match is, in my opinion, the best storyline they've got right now. And, you know, I really think something interesting is going to happen, whether it's Dana Brooke turning on Charlotte or, you know, the boss actually coming back and winning a belt and this and that. And, you know, so I don't know. It's an entertaining thing to me, at least watching the women. I think SmackDown has the more attractive women, and there's more of them. But I definitely think that the storyline is much better on Raw in the women's division. Are you thinking that there's going to possibly be any chance at all to see a Shield sort of reinstatement?
Yes.
Because now that the belt is off of Dean. Dean is not 100% locked into being on SmackDown because he's not the SmackDown champion anymore. So he could possibly show up at this event.
And I think that's what they want to do. I think they want to have a Shield, you know, because I thought those three guys were better when they were together, you know. But here's the thing,
though. That was some of the defining moments of their career when they were together.
Well, yeah, the other thing that I don't the other thing, you know, it's like the way that Seth Rollins has been, he's still acting like a complete POS, you know. Go ahead.
No, I said, but yeah, that's his character. He always does that.
Yeah. You know, and I'm just wondering if they you know, if they put him, who's been getting boos, Roman Reigns getting boos, Dean Ambrose getting cheers, if they're all going to be booed, if they're all going to be cheered, or both, you know?
Hmm.
And I've said this several and many times before. I still don't understand why people do not like Roman Reigns. I just don't get it.
I think it's because they tried to force feed him. That's why.
Yeah, and I think the WWE screwed it up by all the times they screwed him, and because he lost all those times, fans won't get behind him. You know.
Yeah, I don't think fans want a feel good story anymore. I mean, Mick Foley. Hell, it seems to me. I mean, they keep talking about Mick Foley being a legend. I mean, I know that he had been in the company for over a decade before I started watching. Back in 97, 98. But every time I would watch Mick Foley, he had lost. I mean, Mick Foley used to just get his ass kicked in the ring. I mean, it wasn't even pleasurable to watch. I mean, yeah, one of the defining moments of the company was, you know, when he got thrown off the Hell in the Cell, but that was, you know, that was him just getting tooled on. So I always thought Mick Foley kind of sucked, and people still loved him, and people still cheered for him, and they still do cheer for him. And, you know, I thought maybe they'd have the same thing with Roman. Roman breaks up from the Shield, goes through some hard times, gets screwed constantly, can never quite get over the top. But I think that they mismanaged Roman Reigns, because Roman Reigns was never, you know, because Mick Foley was always kind of that lovable loser who always was, you know, he would get screwed over, but he was always kind of just the nice guy, and he would just, you know, mentally unstable and this and that and that. Roman Reigns always acted like the tough guy and would dominate everybody on Raw, but then would lose at every pay-per-view. So that's why I think they kind of didn't get behind him, because of the image and the act that he portrayed as this unstoppable tough guy, but then would continue to lose.
Well, that's true, but there's one thing that you always got to give Mick Foley credit for. No one could take a chair shot like him. I mean, nobody could do that.
Oh, no, of course not. And you know, he's probably paying the price nowadays for it. I mean, the dude is, his brains have been scrambled more than eggs at a diner.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, his brain has been scrambled by The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin and
Triple H and The Undertaker.
I mean, who did not hit him with a chair? You know?
Stephanie McMahon. But, I mean, I don't know. He's the same kind of thing as Goldust. Goldust always kind of sucked as far as, at least when I started watching anyway. And then he was Dustin Rhodes, and then he was doing all the gimmicks, and he was kind of terrible. And then, you know, in 02, 01, 02, and even part of 03, he teamed up with Booker T and became a fan favorite again and got cheers and won the tag titles and the whole shebang, but was never quite, you know, the star, I think, that warranted the cheers and the applause and this and that. So, I mean, and now I think they're just stretching him along. I mean, I hate seeing that Goldust is still around. I mean, at this point it's like, dude, cut the umbilical cord already. I mean, Goldust, his career is over. I mean, he's at this point, just put him in the Hall of Fame and just move on from that chapter of your life, at least in my opinion.
Well, you know, that's, and speaking of that, there's another guy that they might as well not put on TV anymore. Ron Strowman, because all they're doing is having him face jobbers. And what is that proving? You know, what does that prove?
Nothing, really, yeah. It's proving that he's a big, bad SOB. But, you know, I mean, shit, some of the guys that they're putting Braun Strowman in the ring against, I could beat up. You know?
Yeah. You know, so. I mean, it's crazy. It's ridiculous, man. You know, it's like, okay, so what's next? Okay, they make Heath Slater and Rhino tag team champions on SmackDown. Okay, those guys are like the Raw's version of Golden Truth, you know? you know that they're not
well,
going
Rhino's
to hold the
title. Rhino's big time. I like Rhino.
Well, I liked Rhino, you know, yeah, in the past, but I don't like him with Heath Slater, you know? I mean, I don't like Heath Slater. Yeah. I mean, you know.
But who does like there, Heath Slater? That's my question.
His wife and his 24 kids?
All right. Touche.
But like
what Brock Lesnar said, though, you know, I don't give a shit about your kids. And I think that was kind of funny because I don't think anybody does but him, honestly.
Said he swore on a PG show that, you know, I like either the censors missed it or he's like, he doesn't care, or they're proving that, yes, they really are live, you know?
Yeah, I love Lesnar, though. I mean, Lesnar's... Well, here's the thing. I think they're looking at it as those kind of incidents aren't that big of a deal anymore because, you know, you'll be watching, like, American Dad and stuff like that now, and you'll be watching it during the day at 2 o'clock, and they'll say shit because shit's not really that bad of a word anymore. So, you know, it's I think that's why. I don't think they really necessarily care about that word anymore, which is good. But, you know, it's not even like they didn't really curse that much back in the Attitude Era. It was more the scantily clad matches and the whole thing, and I don't know.
Well, we all miss those days. I know I do. And I wish they would bring it back. Jason? Problem with
I guess not. Yeah, booty us, yeah. Well, no, you would think, living in New York City, that they would have the best cell reception on planet Earth, but they don't. So it's all right. If he jumps in, he jumps in. I got about, just over a half hour left to go in the show. The Clash of Champions will mark the one-year anniversary from the old Icon leaving. Remember, Sting was hurt at Night of Champions last year. I don't think this pay-per-view, this is the first pay-per-view in a while where there's not really a match that I care about. I really don't, there's not a match that, oh my God, I need to watch the pay-per-view because of this match. It just doesn't have that appeal this week.
You're going to watch Sunday Night Football.
Oh, well, hell yeah. I'm watching the Cowboys on Sunday night. I'm not going to. Now, there have been times in the past when the Cowboys have been on Sunday Night Football, and it was a really big pay-per-view that I really was invested in and really cared about the outcomes, and I would have them both on. I would buy the pay-per-view. This was before the network, obviously. I'd buy the pay-per-view, and I'd switch back and forth, and I would record the Cowboy game just in case I didn't miss any big moments and go back and forth. Since then, there's been a couple since the network had opened, and I would have the computer open, watching it on the computer next to me, and be watching the TV for the football game. But this week, yeah, hell yeah, there's no question. I'm gonna read the post pay per view results afterwards, and watch Sunday Night Football. There's no question there because my Cowboys.
Well, back in the day before the WWE Network showed up. You know, in Fargo, North Dakota, we always used to gather at Hooters on Sunday nights once a month to watch the pay-per-view. And the pay-per-view would always be on the big screen, and the two small screens would have the Sunday Night Football game on, you know. And I used to hang out with a lot of wrestling fans. That was our day to all get together and just talk wrestling, you know. And now I don't get to see any guys anymore because of the WWE Network. That's the only thing I hate about the network. Because after the network came in, everybody stays home, watches the pay-per-view. Hooters is no longer here, you know. So, you know, there went my Sunday nights hanging out with a wrestling fan. But one thing that I hope eventually that we could do is we could do a live show, the three of us or the four of us, at a pay-per-view, you know? I mean, that
we
would
could.
Just be awesome.
I was trying to do that for SummerSlam down at the Barclays with Jason, but it didn't materialize because SummerSlam fell on my birthday this year, and I had family obligations and things, and my family's really traditional about birthdays and all that, and it wouldn't have flown. It wouldn't have went over so well. But
birthday party.
Definitely want to do that. I will.
You invited Edge to your birthday party again.
I would have if I could find. In fact, I'll give you this. Here's how obsessing it was. I actually started watching that show on the Sci-Fi Network, Haven, just because Edge was on it. It's a terrible show, but I started watching it because Edge was on it. And then I was like, you know, I don't like Edge with short hair, you know, and I don't really like his role. So I had stopped watching it, but I actually begun watching it just because I heard he was going to be on it.
Right. Well, that's why. You know, speaking of Edge, and I think I told you this before, we had a wide receiver, number 84, Zach Braw, that looked just like Edge, you know. And I started calling him Edge, and a lot of people on the internet started calling him Edge because he looked a lot like Edge. He cut his hair the same time Edge cut his.
And, you know, I didn't like when Edge cut it because he didn't look like Edge to me anymore. Edge always had the hair. He always had the appeal. He had that crazy look in his eye. He had that grin that was just that psychotic grin. And, you know, he's always just sort of been, in my mind, Edge is a legend. And, you know, I think that, you know, there's not many guys who had really 2 to 3 years of real prominence. Well, I should say that Stone Cold really only had like two or three solid years. The Rock only had about 4 solid years. Edge was around. Hell, Edge really became the rated R superstar in middle end of 04. And I mean, hell, Edge was like that up until 2010, even past that, maybe up until about
right.
2011, 2012 when he got hurt. So, I mean, Edge was right in the middle of everything. I mean, I remember Edge battling, you know, guys like Stone Cold and The Rock. Well, not Stone Cold necessarily, but The Rock and things like that. But then I remember his epic battles with John Cena. So it's like he Edge spanned like 3 different eras and was still successful, which is another reason why I thought he was so good.
Yeah, well, I liked Edge when he first debuted, when he was doing the You Think You Know Me, and then he switched to that song Ain't Gonna Stop Me or whatever it is. What solidified me with as an Edge fan, tagged with Sable against Mark Merrill and Jacqueline. Now, you've seen that. If you haven't, you got to go back and watch that. That's back when she was with the Oddities.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Edge for me, the Edge I'll always remember is this Edge.
You think you know me.
That's the Edge I'll remember. Because remember, if you did the Think You Know Me, it was a different music in the background. But that is the Edge music that I will always remember. And like I said, I've told the story several times because his first ever time winning the world title in my hometown, I was there, and that was his music, and it was just epic.
Was he was with Lita at that time, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah,
and then the next night on Raw, the next night on Raw, they had the live sex celebration.
Yeah, and for
which also was awesome, by the way.
Well, yeah, and that's when Lita actually had a nip slip, you know.
Yeah,
of course,
she did.
They cut that.
She did have a
vision, but you know.
I mean, you can still go back and find the unedited versions of it and see the nip slip, but yeah, they did. Now, was there real life heat? Was there real life heat on Matt Hardy and Edge because of the Lita thing, or was
yeah.
that all kayfabe as well?
No, that was all real. That was all real.
Yeah.
I saw a shoot interview with Matt Hardy, and Matt Hardy got hurt, and he and Lita were together, but you know, she asked Matt if she would ride with Edge. You know, to save money, you know, ride to town together. And they developed a relationship. And Edge had sent a few explicit text messages to Lita that happened to be seen by Matt, and that's where it started. Because Matt and Lita were building a house together. They were going to have a life together. But that got broken up.
Oh, wow. So I bet you they still don't like each other.
No, they don't.
Well, why does that stuff always happen over girls, man? I'll tell you. Ugh. It's always over a female.
Yeah, and one of the most interesting thing is Lita and Edge were on a radio program doing an interview, and Matt Hardy had came on the air over the phone, and he started calling Edge by his real name. You know?
Adam? Yeah.
And then he said, I'm not calling you Edge. You're Copeland to me. And then that's when it all started.
Hmm. Well, I mean, one thing Edge has over him is that Edge is gonna be 3, 4, 5 times the megastar that Matt Hardy ever was. I mean, Matt Hardy was kind of a joke, in my opinion. Matt Hardy version
yeah.
one. In fact, the best thing he's ever done was team up with Jeff and be the Hardy Boys. It's the best thing that he's ever done.
Well, yeah, that's when I liked Matt Hardy the most, is when he was with, when it was
Jeff.
Matt and Jeff. But I know the whole version 1.0 theme song, but I didn't like him, you know.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's effing stupid.
Did Jason come back?
Yeah, he's on the line, but I think he's at work. That's the problem. So he's got to try to find a quiet spot. And you know, you're in Manhattan. It's always there's never really a quiet spot. You've got a 12 by 2 strip of land, and you've got 10 million people in it. I mean, it's not really going to be quiet. Now, last thing here, and we might end a little early just because I'm out of topics. I don't really care about this pay-per-view at all. Clash of Champions, where do you think the direction of the company is going here? Like, do you think that they're trending into something? Because every week seems to be a little bit more controversial. I mean, do you think that Raw is so desperate for ratings at this point that they will sort of delve back into a little bit of the old days?
Well, we can only hope because, you know, I mean, people say that Raw had the worst ratings in their history, which is true. And the thing is, I mean, you say it's not because of Kevin Owens. Generally, whoever the champion is what draws the rating. You know, when Stone
yeah.
Cold had the belt, when The Rock had the belt, hell, even when Mick Foley had the belt. But,
yeah.
I mean, Kevin Owens, I mean, everybody knows I dislike him for other reasons. But I don't, you know, I don't like the guy, you know.
Mm.
And it's not
Makes
because,
sense.
Well, you know, I mean, tell me, what is exciting about watching him wrestle?
I mean,
Owens? Nothing.
I mean, he has what? Two moves. The chubby barrel roll and the slam thing. That's it.
Yeah, the rest of the time it's like, oh, hey, Kevin can throw a punch. Oh, boy. I mean, so can I. You know? So, yeah, I don't know. Honestly, when they put the belt on him, I was a bit shocked. I wasn't shocked that they did it because they've been pushing him for a while, but I was shocked that they did it because he's just not world title material, in my opinion.
Yeah, and he's not, and he never will be. And, you know, I mean, he comes out in a suit now. Okay? What does that prove? Because you're the champion, you have to wear a suit? You know? Yes. You know.
It's stupid, but, you know, it's the image. They want him to be, you know, they want him to be like a real dick, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you owned a wrestling company, would you want him as your champion? I sure would.
Yeah, I would.
Oh, he's sick.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, are we talking about Seth Rollins as champ?
No, Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens. Honestly, I feel insulted when I see him in a suit. That's just my opinion. He's not, you know, Triple H. He's not Seth Rollins. I like him as champ. I like his. He's like a true heel. Like, even social media wise, he's a heel. He's always in character. So that's kind of why I kind of like Kevin Owens. But for them right now, yeah, I would see him as champ. And I don't know if you guys heard, but you guys definitely need to listen to Jericho's last podcast, Talk is Jericho. And he had Kevin Owens as his guest, and it was the most entertaining hour you could possibly have because they stayed in character the whole time. So remember, he was supposed to have Kevin Owens on the Jericho on Monday Night Raw a couple weeks ago, but he had Sami Zayn. So they actually did the podcast version of what they were supposed to have. It was really good. You got to check it out.
Well, one thing is, they're not. It's not as entertaining as the three of us.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Well, Jason,
I mean,
let me ask you this. Jason, you watched the podcast. You saw the Stone Cold podcast. Was the Dean Ambrose thing kayfabe, or is he just an idiot?
He's just an idiot. And I don't know if you saw the promo with Cena was talking jabs at him, saying that, you know, Stone Cold's right. You know, you just don't cut it. That was hell. Or as real as it could be.
Wow. Well, yeah, because Dean was given, like, and again, I kind of haven't seen it, so let's not give too many spoilers, but he just was giving, like, one-word answers, and Stone Cold was getting so mad.
Yeah,
I didn't understand.
I didn't understand that whole thing, that whole segment. I don't understand why he was giving the one-word answers, why he was being such a douchebag. And, you know, even Stephanie, before he left, you know, she was taking jabs and, like, you know, you're the worst champion in the history of this company. I don't know what all that was about.
Well, you know, it's kind of, you know, like The Miz and Daniel Bryan, okay? They're still going on with that. I think it's not I don't think it's work. I think there is a lot of animosity between those two, and I'm hoping that Daniel Bryan will be able to come back and wrestle at least one more match, you know? Because I know that you didn't necessarily like the whole yes boob and everything. I know you didn't like that. But to me, it was entertaining. And, you know, he's got
the only thing I like about the yes movement is that it brought about change for the time being. Because had Daniel Bryan didn't get as hot as he did, we would have got stuck with Batista Orton as a main event for WrestleMania. That would have been god-awful.
Yeah, that's true. But, hey, there's one other thing you got to admit. He does have a Bella.
Which I don't understand.
True. He has the wrong Bella, though. Cena has the better Bella, in my opinion.
Well, they're twins.
Sure. in that show that they've been promoting about John Cena and Nikki coming to live with Daniel and that is that a real thing or is that all scripted? like, are the fights and the arguments that they're having scripted, or is that all like they really just can't coexist together in the same house?
No, well, no, it's kind of like Big Brother, you know, or you know, it's what they're like when they're together, you know. It's not as revved up as the Osbournes, but it's kind of like, you know, Big Brother, the, you know, the third wheel of the surreal life, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. It's possible.
I don't think the show's going to do as well as, you know, well, it might do well. So Cena's, he's a character, and the Bellas are there. Daniel Bryan is like the modern-day caveman. But they're really, you know, WWE is really extending their branches all over the place, you know, with the whole Divas and now with the two power couples with their own reality show. So I see what they're trying to do right there.
Do either of you guys watch Ride Along?
No.
I watched the first episode, and I thought it was dumb. How about Holy Foley? Have you guys watched that?
I haven't had a chance yet.
I haven't had a chance to watch that either, and I'm a big fan of Mick Foley's daughter.
Yeah, so am I. I'll tell you what, it's a hilarious show. You know, the only shows that the regular shows that the WWE has had that I watch regularly is Holy Foley, Swerved, Legends with JBL, and the Monday Night Wars.
Really? Not Ken's WWE? That's my favorite.
No, I haven't gotten into that, you know.
Ric Flair being Ric Flair sleeping with a bear, that was great.
Oh, you're talking about Camp WWE? No,
that's really good stuff. You gotta check it out.
Well, since you recommended, I will. But I don't know. I just can't get into it. I mean, I saw the one where they were talking about the guy, I want to sleep with Stephanie McMahon or see her naked or something. I thought that was interesting, you know.
Oh, speaking of interesting, I got a bold prediction for Clash of Champions Sunday. Mick Foley gets fired by the end of the night. He gets fired at the end of the night. I think Stephanie and Triple H helped Kevin Owens retain the belt. And then Mick Foley, you know, goes on his what the hell kind of rant, and then she smacks him and fires him.
And then do we see the Shield the next week? Because now Dean Ambrose is not linked to SmackDown anymore. He's not the champion. Do we see him possibly show up in the Shield the next week?
Because what I ultimately see is Authority coming back full strong, and I see, you know, Kevin Owens, of course, being their guy. But I also see the Shield not reuniting until Survivor Series, because that's the best, that's the only optimal time you could do that. Can't do it now, because now it's, you know, they're getting ready for No Mercy, which is in mid-October. And then after No Mercy, the next SmackDown pay-per-view would be in conjunction with Raw, which would be the Survivor Series. And that's when you probably get the Shield reunion, because you kind of see the little seeds being planted, especially at the end of last Monday Night Raw. We see Seth Rollins coming in for the save on his former buddy, Roman Reigns. So you can kind of see that's where they're heading, but it's going to be a slow build, but that's what I think is going to happen.
So do you think that they're going to let Seth Rollins is going to win the title, or is he going to lose?
He's going to get screwed over, and this is where Stephanie and Hunter screw him over again, and this is where Mick Foley, you know, spazzes out and be like, what's going on? I thought we're keeping it a clean show. And then she fires him. And this is where we start seeing Authority 3.0 come back to form.
You know, I like it. I think that would be more interesting than anything else that they've done recently. So I actually, as much as I don't want to see the Authority again, I think that would be an actual pretty interesting storyline, honestly.
Because even this, guys, I don't think Roman Reigns gets the US rep. I think Rusev gets that.
Oh really?
I don't see Roman Reigns then. I think Rusev keeps it.
Well, that's an interesting take.
don't know, just something. I just think it makes for a better storyline where you start the slow build of the Shield reunion, and it wouldn't make sense if Roman, if Reigns has a belt and Rollins doesn't, because then who's really, you know, who's really the leader of the Shield if you do that? Because we all know Rollins is the architect, so he's gonna have to architect his way to get everybody to get the band together.
I'm with it. Yeah, for sure. For show. I'm totally with you on that one. I like I said, that would be the best thing that they could do right now. So, you know, who the hell knows? I mean, at this point, all I know is I definitely do think we're going to hear this.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
And we're going to hear Michael Cole go, "Oh my gosh, it's Triple H. What is Triple H doing here?" So, the only thing we're never going to hear again is, like at the end of the thing, be like, "Oh my gosh, he screwed Seth Rollins over. He has cost Seth Rollins." Actually, I don't think they can say screwed anymore.
Yeah.
No, he has cost Seth Rollins a championship. The Authority is back. They have, you know, they have helped Kevin Owens. What does this mean for the Authority in the future? Like he's just gonna say something stupid. We're never gonna hear Triple H be called the son of a.
Run! Triple H standing guard.
You're never going to hear that again, unfortunately. So, who knows? You know, who the hell knows? But Michael Cole could never hold a candlestick to him in that department.
Well, Michael Cole can't hold a candlestick to anybody. Not
true.
That I'm breaking, but I think I'd be a better wrestling announcer than him. Matter of fact, someday I'd like to try it, you know. Of course, that's just me. You guys check out him here or what?
No, I'm here. I've been here.
Okay.
I've been listening.
Okay.
I've been listening and soaking it in, man. Jason's cell phone reception has been a little faulty, but that's okay. But no, I've been with you the whole goddamn time. Let me see here. What else we got real quick? Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it for my topics. I mean, do you have anything else coming into this weekend you want to maybe go over or discuss or whatnot? Or?
Well, I don't think that this upcoming pay-per-view is going to be they're going to call it the best ever, but I don't think it's going to be close. There's going to, I mean,
no,
most of the matches are going to put us to sleep, you know?
I think so, for sure. I don't think it's going to, I don't think it's going to be even close. Fucking WrestleMania is supposed to be the best ever every year, and this WrestleMania is probably the worst WrestleMania we've had in the past 5 years, so. Almost. I mean, this to me, I'm just hoping that they do something. I'm just hoping that they put them in. I don't even necessarily need, you know, chair shots and violence and scantily clad storylines. I just need something interesting. I just need a storyline that's going to make me go, "Oh, all right, I'll check that out. This seems kind of interesting." And so far,
I have faith it's going to get better. I have faith by WrestleMania season, things are going to be really good because, you know, you got guys like Samoa Joe is going to be on the roster, Finn Balor will be back,
And it's going to get better. You've got to have a little faith. I just think they need better story development. And just having this pay-per-view every month is not the way to go about it.
Yeah,
well,
but do you think that they're too stubborn to change that?
Yeah, they're too stubborn to change that. Because, like we said earlier, you know, the ratings is all they care about. The reason for a brand split was to make SmackDown ratings better, to go up. And that's what's happening, you know. SmackDown's more of a wrestling show. So, they, even though we may not like the brand split, it's actually a success because the ratings are up for a Tuesday show.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Vince McMahon will not allow the ratings to continue to drop, you know. The WWE is Vince McMahon's creation. That's his baby, you know. And he's not going to let anything jeopardize that.
The longest running episodic television show in history. Now, what I'm surprised about, honestly, what I'm shocked about is that Vince let them go PG to begin with. Because his best ratings ever in the history of the entire business was from 97 to 04. So I'm really surprised he let them do that at all. I mean, I know his wife was running for a Senate house and everything in Connecticut, but still, he basically, by allowing that, single-handedly sort of almost signed his own death warrant in a way.
Yeah, and his wife didn't have a chance when she ran either. Because I don't want to get political here. I mean, I have a problem with Linda McMahon, but she's one of the only Republicans I ever liked. But there's just something about it, you know.
Well, when she ran, what they should have done is, the minute she lost, go back to what got you the ratings again. You know, it's not like she's holding the office and you have to stay this way until she's not in office anymore. You know, she lost. Go back to what made you popular.
Well, you know, I also think that the USA Network had something to do with that too. The new network heads had something to do with that as well. You know, the guy that was in charge of USA during the Attitude Era, I mean, he let a lot of stuff go, you know. And then a new guy came in, and he's like, well, you guys got to kind of clean this up, you know. But, of course, think about this, though. If WWE, like SmackDown and Monday Night Raw, went to the network, just on the WWE network and not on national television, can you imagine all the stuff that you'd see that you don't see now?
Oh, yeah. Faux show.
But that's, even if what we got to live with, and a lot of us disagree with it, but we still watch wrestling because we like wrestling.
We love it, and we're never going to stop loving it. So, going into Clash of Champions, Jason made his bold prediction. Icon, do you have a bold prediction real quick, or are we good for today?
Well, I'm going to say that the biggest upset of the night will be losing the women's title. That's my upset pick for the night.
Okay. And does Dana Brooke get involved?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Now, does Dana Brooke get involved trying to help Charlotte and making a mistake again? Or does she screw over Charlotte intentionally?
Well, I think what happens is she'll be trying to help Charlotte, but she'll end up messing it up, and then that'll start a feud between Charlotte and her, and then that'll set up your next month on Raw, is those two going at it.
Makes
so that's
sense.
My upset,
you know,
pick.
Yep. I'm with it. I don't know enough about the matches that are going to be going on to give you an upset pick, so I'll just go ahead and roll with yours, and we'll go from there. This was the Class of Champions special edition show. Normally, for those of you who listen, normally what we do is we take you through the end of Raw, and if we run out of actual topics, we just talk about how Raw ended and go from there and what we think is going to happen. But unfortunately, there's no Raw on tonight to do that with. For those of you who listen, this is our normal outro.
Dead man walking.
You've done it now.
You've done it.
So for those of you who know, that's The Undertaker's 2003 music. But in this case, I am going to amend that. I'm going to go to the bullpen here. And our outro music is going to be two things, two special things. The first thing is going
to
be this.
You did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Who play Sunday night, by the way. And the second one is going to be this.
You think you know me?
Oh, of course.
All right. Have a good day, everybody. We'll see you on Monday.
On this day, I see